So here we are, Worldwide Live through BBS Radio. We are a couple of minutes early. Thank you, BBS, for having us presented Worldwide Live over the internet. I welcome you all. It is today, November the 14th, on a Monday in 2016. And Monday evening episode, Winfrey, the man of the hour, will be here shortly. And he will be talking about white hats, black hats. And he's mentioning in the email the assassination of JFK way back. And I believe that he wants to talk about it tonight. So hang in there. And we wait for more people to come on board. Participate with this. Again, thank you for being here. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Catherine from California.
Hello, Catherine. Welcome to the call.
Good evening.
Thank you for being here. All right. So this is, as usually, simulcast with a conference call. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. And we also do have a conference call simulcast with the radio show on Wednesday. Same station, same time. And on Sundays, we are on station 1 BBS, 10 a.m. Pacific till noon. A two-hour call and a popular call. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location if you want to.
Nobody wants to. Hi, this is Terry.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call, sweetheart.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right. We are at the clock of 6. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Welcome back, Roger. Good evening to you. So, good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how's everybody?
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right, and those on BBS Radio Online for participating with this. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. Good evening, welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Edna.
Guten Abend, Edna. Welcome to the call.
Guten Abend, and Kishan.
All right. All right. I was talking earlier about the Sunday call, the gathering on the Sunday morning, the most popular call we do in the first hour when talks about a random topic. In the second hour, we do personal and planetary healing, meditation, and also Terry Brown. She does a live channeling. In the second hour. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We welcome you. Terry, you know about when his whereabouts?
Let me go and check on him.
All right. Thank you. Those who are here through BBS Radio, we cannot see you, we cannot hear you. Glad that you join in. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Good evening to you and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening to you. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Steve from West Palm Beach.
Steve, I greet you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Tell me it's Honolulu.
Who is this from Honolulu?
Tell me, yeah.
I can barely hear you. Sound in the background. Welcome to the call.
Yeah. Hello. Hoe gaat het?
Hoe gaat het? Spreek je in Nederlands?
Yeah. You speak Dutch. Ik spreek Nederlands.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus.
Suzanne, welcome to the call.
Hey, thanks, hi.
Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right.
Supermoon night.
All right, yeah. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
It is Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. I'm glad you're here.
After today, I don't blame you. After yesterday.
All right. I welcome the last person here. Thank you for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location. All right. We welcome you. We're going to turn the things off. All right, we are live.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
The internet through BBS Radio. Thank you all to those who are here joining with us through BBS Radio Online. And Wynn, I give the mic to you.
Thank you.
This conference is being recorded.
This is November 14th, 2016. And I had a strange topic for today's call, black hats and white hats. And just curious, anyone ever hear that terminology? I'm going to unmute you. Wait a second.
All callers are unmuted. All callers are unmuted.
I heard it.
You guys know what black hats and white hats are?
Yes.
Yes.
Who is the male that said yes?
Dharmananda.
What's a black hat and a white hat, Dharmananda?
A white hat is a person that is like a whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to, you know, make things right for everybody. And a black hat is a person who's like with New World Order type people.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have an idea what it is?
The original reference is to cowboy movies. Bad guys wear the black hats.
Okay. Thank you, Don. Probably carried forward, huh? Anyone else? No takers. Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Okay, well, we live in a projected reality. And yesterday I did a call on, what did I call them? Anchor points, the way we anchor our reality. And, you know, from the time that I started writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce to the present, I've had an underlying study of the way that reality is anchored, and it's actually not random that our anchor points, or most people's anchor points, are the result of projections by what you could call the negative. And as I started to study this, it was actually blowing my mind. I couldn't believe it. Because I started to take apart things in my life, my anchor points, and started to review them, and I was as resistant as the next person. Because when you have a bunch of belief patterns that are going to a certain conclusion, and you think the world is a certain way, and you suddenly find indications that you're totally wrong, and it's hard to let go of those belief patterns and move into something different to replace it. Luckily for us, those of us who are attending these calls, the hard part of removing belief patterns or anchor points, if you want to call them that, is that for many people, if they try to start this process, it's horrible because they don't have anything to replace it. And it's easy to get hostile, angry, and polarized with the negative because of the way you have been betrayed. And in this last election between Hillary and Trump, I kind of went out on a limb, and I got people mad at me, certain people. And because some of the stuff that I was presenting would require people to rewrite their anchor points. This was not just a political election. And one set of anchor points that has been established in our political system has to do with the different candidates and how they're presented. And I remember when I was identifying with being a liberal, and when Bill Clinton got elected, and people that I thought were New Age and positive, like Oprah, for example, were endorsing him. And he seemed like the epitome of a New Age president. And he had a great smile. He was extremely smart. He seemed to embody, how would I say it, positive transformation. And there was this idea that was being promulgated in the New Age paradigm that we are moving into a world of love. The world is shifting into a world of love and cooperation, and that Bill Clinton seemed to embody that. And if we jump forward, Obama seemed to embody that. And of course, Oprah was endorsing Obama, as well as a lot of Hollywood people, and people that I related to, different rock and roll musicians, different pop stars. And if you don't look further, this mass illusion that's being perpetrated is very compelling. And no one really likes it taken away from them. And people will fight and claw out of anything that seems to challenge any kind of mass illusion that has been perpetrated on us as a group. And I watched that, and I was fighting and clawing. I didn't want to believe it. But I kept looking under the rug. I said, you know, I tend to be very, very skeptical. They actually had a word out, and these words are not random. These words are in the news all the time. And when you hear these words in the news, you just start to adopt them and take them for granted because it looks like the news speaks with such authority. So, for example, one of those words is conspiracy theorist. Anyone that looks for alternative explanations is not finding truth. They are a conspiracy theorist. Or if someone goes into alternative spiritual understandings, they couldn't be finding truth. They must be part of a cult. And so we are predisposed to look at everything that challenges tradition and apply those two words to it and more, conspiracy theorists and cults, and therefore it must not be true. And this has been reiterated in the news over and over again. So we've internalized it. It's a way of setting protection so that we don't expand our reality beyond the consensus, beyond the programmed reality. And what's happening now is that masses of people are starting to shift. And the thing that's brought this into the forefront is this election between Trump and Hillary. Now, I absolutely don't think Trump is perfect. In fact, he's far from perfect. And there are many ways on a personality level that people have picked on his imperfections and decided that he was no good for the country. Now, maybe he will end up being no good. I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm absolutely sure he's good for the country. I'm not sure about his decision-making ability. I'm not sure people think he has a temper, whatever. But the one thing I am sure about, and the thing that convinced me that Trump was a far better choice than Clinton was the fact that I was, and I've sent these emails out, I was uncovering all of this material indicating that we were on the brink of the nuclear war. And it's still not resolved yet, but I think it's on the way to being resolved. and that Trump was going to be a far better person to remove that threat than Hillary. And why did I think that? Well, first of all, he knew this. And he had already made overtures to Putin, who is head of Russia. And, of course, in the projected reality in this realm, Putin is projected as our enemy. And that he did things that make him look like an aggressor. And even a while back ago, I started watching videos of Putin. And he seemed really smart. He seemed fairly expansive. And he also seemed that he did not want a nuclear war. And he wanted cooperation between countries. And if you didn't watch the videos that I sent, I think there were two of them in particular that were made by high-up people in our country. One was the Army Chief of Staff, who I forget his name, and another one was another high-up government person. And they were actually rattling sabers towards Russia, making Putin sound like an evil dictator, and threatening to do a first strike on Russia. And they were saying that if there was a cyber attack by Russia on the United States, they would take that as an act of war and consider that justification to attack Russia in some way. Even talking about a nuclear attack, suggesting that that was possible. And nobody was negotiating or talking to Putin while this was going on. Now, you can believe the news that that was true, because it's in the news. And if they say Putin did a cyber attack on us, it must be true. Must it be true? Well, those of you that have kept your finger on alternative news over the past years have seen a new word developed. And that word is called false flag. What is a false flag? A false flag is an act that is perpetrated by a country that where they do something themselves. And they make it look like someone else did it to give them an excuse to attack that other country. And this has been part of our history, false flags. And, you know, you can go look this up. There was indications that even the war in Vietnam was started by a false flag that was called the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And there was a lot of evidence showing that was an incident where supposedly a U.S. ship was attacked by the North Vietnamese. And there was a lot of indication that that didn't happen the way it seemed to happen. There's a lot of indication if you study it, that the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was something our government knew about and did nothing about. For whatever reason, they wanted that attack, so they would have an excuse to go into World War II. So they need to create a reason to go to war, to call somebody an enemy. And this happens all the time. And they create things that are in the news all the time, and they rally people to be against something so that they can manifest their laws or their retaliation. And, you know, you can go research this for yourself. And I suggest you do it. Don't do it casually. And many of you have done this already. But if we talk about false flags, we can go back quite a ways. But let's start for a moment on 911 and the downing of those two buildings. And there's a huge amount of compilations on the internet that convinced me that it could not be the way we were told it was. Could not be. I don't know all the details. I don't know enough to come to a final conclusion and say this is true. But that two planes hit those buildings and caused them to demolish themselves could not have been the way it happened. And just go research it yourself, but just some of the things that I started to study. This was one of like a big wake-up call for me when I looked at all the evidence, because just like everyone else, I thought it was the way it was reported. But there were numerous people, and many of them give their testimonies on the web, on different YouTubes, that heard different explosions. Even firemen, even policemen, even people in positions, that there was experts that said the buildings could not have fallen the way they did unless it was demolition. And in demolition, they plant explosives all through a building to make it fall like a pancake, okay? Otherwise, it couldn't have fallen like a pancake. And you couldn't have had all those steel beams pulverized into powder. There would have had to have been pieces of beams standing, or at least falling in pieces, rather than powder. And then there was Building 7. And anyone who studied this epic event knows that the two buildings that fell, that were hit by planes, there was a third building, Building 7. And Building 7 was not hit by a plane, and yet it fell in the same pancake way. And it was said that pieces of the other buildings fell on it or something and caused it to happen. But it didn't make sense, because why would it fall like a pancake? Why would it be totally pulverized? And there have been teams of experts, of engineers, that have come together and analyzed this and put their reports on the web and said it was impossible. And so we have this event where three buildings in the middle of New York City fall like a pancake, and everybody believes it was the act of terrorists from another country. There are people that have indicated that there's no way, even pilots who are experts, that there's no way you could maneuver a plane going at the speed that it was going and have it, and have even an experienced pilot hit their target so precisely. So there are numerous things which make the whole thing implausible. And you have to ask them a lot of questions. So why did they do it? Well, you know, right after that happened, we then used that as a justification to go into the Middle East and start attacking countries, start attacking Al-Qaeda, start attacking Libya, Saddam Hussein. And that was our reason, our justification, because we had to stop terrorism. So then you say, well, why did we go into those countries? I don't know if I can give all the answers. I mean, there's a lot of people that are talking about it on the web. And, you know, when you start studying things on the web, you realize just because it's on the web doesn't mean it's true. Doesn't mean it's not true. You have to be sensitive enough. And I worked very hard to figure this out, to try to decide what's true. And in some cases, you can hear the words right out of someone's mouth saying something. For example, you will find people like Bill Gates talking about world depopulation and supporting vaccines all over the world. You will find Bill Gates having put some kind of vaccine, funding it. He has a foundation in, I believe it was India, I believe so, where 49,000 people got paralyzed or got damaged in some serious way. And him shrugging it off out of his own mouth, his own words, you know, you go look for this stuff, saying, well, sometimes people have to die so the world can become a better place. You will find people like Henry Kissinger, George Bush Senior, George Bush Junior, and Obama mouthing the words, the New World Order. And the New World Order is this plan to have a one world government, all right? And that, on the surface, that could sound like a good idea, all right? But the problem is, when you look up some of the details of the New World Order, you find the idea of reducing the population 75% because the planet is too crowded. That's what they say. And so when you take that into the mix and you see things like the World Trade Center, like people going into the Middle East and killing all kinds of people, civilians, hundreds of thousands perhaps. It's like vaccines that not only don't seem to help people, but actually create short-term and long-term damage. And yet we are programmed to get vaccines all the time. They give them away for free. You go into the supermarket, and there's a sign that says, free flu shot. Get yours today. You have to study these things and you find out that they're not what they seem. And this is your, you know, this is your world. You're in this world. And if you're still believing that stuff, you're going to get tricked in a way that's going to be harmful. I believe that. To me, who I've studied this, some of you have studied it, and some of you know exactly what I'm saying. To me, you can't study this stuff and end up being a conspiracy theory. It has to be true. It has to be. There is absolutely no doubt about it. And one of the things about this election with Hillary is that she and Bill have represented the most negative of this agendas, this New World Order agenda. And there's no doubt about it. It's definitely true. And I try to tell people, I say, look at these videos, look at this, look at that. And when somebody is rigidly holding their anchor points in a certain way, they tell me, oh, you can do anything on the internet. You can fake this, you can fake that. That's not true in many cases. But you have to look enough to where you see things that can't be faked. And there's lots of stuff that can't be faked. And then you have to ask yourself, I want to explain this to myself. And oftentimes people just stop right there. I am sure those of you that have been studying this have tried to tell somebody about it with complete frustration for the way people dodge the realization of what's going on. Now, you know, when I have looked at it, and I have this idea of false flags, you have so many of the things that have been manipulated in the news. Like, there's people that have put together all this evidence that Sandy Hook did not happen the way we've been told it happened. And that there were actors, and I don't know how they could pull something like that off with so much complicity, because there has to be a lot of complicity from a lot of people to pull it off. I don't know how they did it, but indications that that was a false flag, indications that that movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, where the guy came in and shot people, was a false flag. And, you know, one of the things about the negative, the Illuminati, is that they plan these things long in advance. And they actually put messages out in a rather big way as to what they're planning. For example, I mean, this is one example. There is the Illuminati card deck, which has a card that shows the World Trade Centers falling down and all kinds of other things, even and up to including Trump being president. So that makes the question is, do they want Trump to be president? Then there's the dollar bills that we talked about it the other day, the $20 bills, the $50 bills, where when you fold them a certain way, you see the World Trade Center falling. And when you fold the $50 bill another way, you see Hoover Dam, Boulder Dam, collapsing. Now, that didn't happen yet. Is that something that's going to happen? I don't know. I don't want to say that it will. And so it's like, I see what they're doing is the only reason I can guess why they do that is because there's two possibilities. One is they want to warn us. So when they do it, they get less karma. They think, well, we told them and they didn't pay any attention. The other reason is they are turning us all into magical occult zombies so that we carry the energy of what they're planning in our pockets and we create the energy for it to occur. And I've come to the conclusion that because of the work we're doing, and I don't know, I don't think we have enough people, but our work is also recreating potentials from a very high level. I mean, the Elohim have told us they don't go into prophecy because when you go into prophecy, you are putting into the belief that things are meant to happen. And the fact is that anything can change. And working with very high holograms like the Elohim is above the level where these things happen. You know, sometimes they've used the word probability vortices. And probability vortice means that there's all these timelines. And the timeline where prophecies are occurring and this is going to happen and that's going to happen is in a certain timeline. And if that timeline predominates, then it will happen. But there's timelines above that timeline and timelines above that timeline. And if there's enough preponderance of energy and intention at the higher timelines, then the prophetic stuff in the lower timelines gets transformed, and it doesn't happen. That's why I started doing these daily personal and planetary, I forget what I call them. You know,
hope.
Not hope. Sessions. Personal and planetary sessions. Because we as a group, many of us, have learned and got some clue about how this works. And it's not like asking God to do us a favor and say, God, please do this, please do that. It's like creating group energy at higher timelines above the timelines that the negative operates in and creating shift. And that's why we're doing these calls every day at 8 o'clock. We're doing one tonight. We're doing one yesterday. We're doing one the day before. And this is a group project. I'm starting it. But other people are going to be working it who have been in our group and have learned to hold the intent. Because what happens in our group, many of you have had this experience of the time going by really fast when you're on these calls, particularly on our Sunday call, that time is moving at a different speed. Now, when we talk about different dimensions, we're actually talking about levels where time moves at different speeds. So we are in what you could call 3D, and time is moving at a certain speed down here. When you go up to the Ra level or the Elohim level, and, you know, the Ra level moves slower than the Elohim level, and the Elohim, as far as I know, moves the fastest there is. And when we start accessing the Elohim, the Elohim level, what do we notice? An indication. And many of you have told me this. I've gotten so many emails that people jump on these calls and time just goes by. We're on for an hour, even on this call where I'm talking about all this garbagey stuff. The time still moves quickly. And sometimes on our Sunday call, the 2 hours is like, boom, you know, it's like, because we're in the moment. We're in the flow of the moment. So when you're in the flow of the moment, you're not experiencing past or future. You're in the moment. And so we are accessing higher dimensions. And by my indication, that time moves faster. And then when we're in those dimensions, this realm is derivative of the energies that are above it. In other words, the realm is being created partially by all the energies that download into it from higher dimensions. And in the law of one, it's all one. So when we access higher dimensions and put intentions in that, and when we can visualize creations from those higher dimensions, we are coming in above the lower timelines that are being programmed by the negative, okay? And that's why it's so important to get people on our calls, and particularly on our healing calls. You know, there's two aspects to the calls we're doing. One is to impact your conscious mind and share new ways of looking at things so that you can move your anchor points. Because all of our minds have been totally influenced over our entire life to hold anchor points at lower levels, at slower timelines. That's the reason they do it. Because when you're in the lower timeline, you don't have any power to recreate anything. And when you get into the higher timelines, we start getting the abilities to recreate lower timelines. And that's what looks like a miracle, okay? And it's not a miracle. It's not a miracle because God did it or something. It's because we accessed the higher timelines where those beings exist in the higher timelines. They share space with us. They explain to us how it works. They've given us an amazing, how shall we say it, bridge from here to there. And they do it all the time. They're on the call right now. They're paying attention to us right now. I've learned that. I've learned that as soon as I start talking about them, they start putting energy down into this realm. And even if I don't talk about them, they're there. It's like a whole new education of what you are and what the universe is. In a sense, it's like you are budding God realization people on this line, and we're paying attention to this work. And you are learning how to reprogram yourself to be more effective, more impactful, more loving, more caring. And it's a process. It's been a process for me. I didn't know how to do any of this. The only thing I am is I'm very observant. I pay close attention. And I've had the experience of even particularly when I was younger, and I refer to this when I was hitchhiking, having these, living in a world of miracles for like years, a few years at a time. And I didn't understand how it worked. And, you know, at the time, I was letting go of anything, everything, direction, future, past. And I just wanted to play music for people. And I stepped, it was like stepping off a diving board and going into free fall because there were so many synchronicities. But I did not know how to stay in one place and maintain that level. Whenever I stopped, I would fall into normal 3D. I was kind of addicted to traveling and moving around. It kept me above 3D. And only now that I have a mission that holds the higher timeline in place, can I stay in one place and still have that experience? And I still don't know if it's as high an experience as when I was traveling. But many of you are having synchronicities. Many of you are having magical events in your life. And when it first starts happening, when you first have that experience, it just says, man, did that really happen? Did that really happen that way? How could that happen? That's what I used to say. How could this happen? I didn't understand it. But after a while, you get the hang of it. You really do exist in higher timelines. You really do exist as part of the one infinite creator. You do have these abilities that you have been conditioned not to use by all the projected realities in this realm. Why do you think they project those realities? Because this ability that we're talking about right now is the only thing that can change the future of this planet, okay? Otherwise, they're going to own it. And they came very close to owning it in this election, from my perspective. And as bad as Donald Trump might be, a nuclear war was in store for us, because a nuclear war would fulfill their agenda of population reduction. And you can look up, do a Google search on Agenda 21. You can find this all over the internet if you look for it. The Illuminati, reduced population, do a search on that. Why do you think we have chemtrails? Why do you think chemtrails drop things that are toxic to us? Why do you think we have GMOs? Why do you think we have vaccines that are harmful to us? Why is because they're all moving towards reducing population. And how can we believe that the leaders of our planet would want such a thing? You have to prove it to yourself. You have to do your own research. Many of you have, and you know it's true. You know, I put a little thing there, and I call this thing white hats and black hats. And even I believe in the Illuminati, there are different points of view expressed, because there's indications that Donald Trump is part of that group as well, okay? That everyone was part of that group that's been in government. And it doesn't mean they're enslaved to one point of view. There's a very interesting thing I sent out in the email today. And I didn't go into the John F. Kennedy. You know, I don't want to just constantly dwell on some of the controversial things that have happened in our realm. But one of the things I just spent quite a bit of time looking at was the Kennedy assassination. And it was one of the first huge public events where nothing happened the way we thought it happened. And lots of indications that Lyndon Johnson was behind it. So I sent out an email today where the person who allegedly killed Kennedy was Lee Harvey Oswald. And there is a photo of Lee Harvey Oswald on the ground in a doorway, and it sure looks like him, when he was supposed to be on the sixth floor of the book depository shooting Kennedy. But there's so many anomalies in that. If you just look up JF Kennedy conspiracy or, you know, whatever, you'll blow your mind. Even his son, John F. Kennedy Jr., the guy who was killed in the plane, all of that was filled with stuff that made it sound to me, convinced me, that it didn't happen the way they said it would happen. And I just like to provoke you all to study this stuff. I don't want to tell you there is enough evidence on the internet and that this thing with Hillary and having a potential nuclear war, and both our government and Russian government, even the German government, were preparing people. We weren't telling anybody about it, but there were drills, okay? And with the fact of Hillary, there is so much evidence of the corruption that's been around Hillary and Bill ever since he was governor of Arkansas. And it's like some of it was public. There was things like Whitewater. There were things like the Vince Foster murder, which didn't happen the way they said. There was her making money on stakes. There's the Clinton Foundation laundering money for foreign governments. There's WikiLeaks. Is WikiLeaks true? I think it is. If you look at the guy who started WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, he just seems really, really passionate. His energy seems pure. And, I mean, he's taken a huge sacrifice. He's living kind of in a dungeon in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And supposedly, you know, there are factions of the Illuminati that did not want nuclear war, that did not want the kinds of things that were projected. And some people say those factions are the white hats and the other factions are the black hats. And essentially, if Hillary really was indicted, which probably won't happen, even though Trump says he's going to do it, probably won't happen because it'll bring the government down. Because so many people are implicated in her nefarious plots, okay? And from pedophilia to money laundering in her foundation, money laundering and taking money from foreign governments, even our allegedly enemy foreign governments like Syria, and taking millions of dollars and giving them favors. And if they did a thorough investigation of that and it came out to be true, people would be aghast. I don't think they're going to do that. But they did stop her from becoming president. And if you loved Hillary and you don't look these things up, you are doing yourself a huge disservice, okay, in knowledgeability of what's happening in our realm. And you know what? It's 7:57. We're going to go off on our other wine now and do our healing call, and I hope some of you will join us. Remember, we're doing this every day. And let me see. Hi, do you have the phone number of the other line handy?
Yes, I have it here. It is 712 770 4340, and the PIN is 250513#. One more time, 712-770-4340, PIN 250513#.
Thank you. And this is not a game, man. We are actually, this is a very important thing we're doing, because it's only doing things like this which are going to change the timelines in this realm. And not just us, anyone who prays, anyone who reaches for higher realms, they don't have to know all about the Elohim. They don't have to know all this controversy. But it starts the process of changing timelines. And I will meet you all at that number. And remember, wholeplanethealing.com, wholeplanethealing.com. If you, every day at 6 p.m. Pacific. And we hope you'll join us in a regular way, you know, often. On that note, let's...
Pacific.
Did I say Pacific?
I said 6 Pacific. 7 Pacific.
So it's 7 Arizona. Wait, it's 7 Pacific. Yeah, 7 Pacific. I'll unmute everybody, and we'll see you on that line.
All callers are unmuted.